What's up, everybody? This is AJ Kirsch, a.k.a. Roasted Joe Brody.
And this is Fala Ba Ba Ba.
This is Alita.
This is Halston Bobby.
This is Darewolf PJ Black.
This is Kathy Campanelli.
This is Tom Garland. That's right, comedian Tom Garland from the movie Headstrong with Rob Van Dam. And right now, you are listening to the
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. Like, share, and subscribe. And if you don't, you can catch me outside. How about that?
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
So, hey, this is DJ Impact here. I'm here with Matt Michaels. And with us today, we have BJ Darden out from Portland, Oregon, man. Is the, would it be right to say BCW champion?
No, I'm the AIWF American Heavyweight Champion.
There you go.
I'm one of the figureheads of BCW Worldwide.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Okay, perfect. We'll go from there. So we wanted to talk to you because we know that you had a relationship with Shad Gaspar, who has now left us, unfortunately, due to the accident at Venice Beach. And just wondering if you could just share some few words or even some memories about you guys' relationship.
You know, I belong to a Facebook group with a bunch of producers and wrestlers and some WWE guys. And, you know, Matt, I believe Matt's part of the group as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have these conversations, and these conversations really get, like, you know, about general life and wrestling, and what, you know, we have what we call the happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hasn't been really happy the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
You know, Shad was a very good man, and I'm not just saying, like, he was a good man because of what he did. He was like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, people are now just jumping on the bandwagon, like, oh, Shad was great. He was this. Yeah, he really was great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I thought about this all day today, and I knew you guys were going to ask me questions about it. And honestly, I didn't know what to say. Like, I did my own podcast for BCW Worldwide,
mm-hmm.
and they asked me the same question. And I'm really good on the mic. I can cut a promo. I can talk shit with the best of them.
Right.
But I couldn't get it out. You know, it really sucked.
Yeah.
But I guess what I really can say is he's always been one of those guys that you can lean on and you can talk to, and he never judged you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was really supportive and always had a funny-ass joke or something that could kind of lighten the mood, you know?
Right.
A couple years ago, I was really down. Really down. Mm-hmm. And I was debating on whether I was going to stop wrestling. It wasn't fun anymore. You know, a lot of things were going on, and when I stop having fun doing something, it becomes a job. And when
yeah.
it's a job, I don't do it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that older vets told me when I first started training. Hey, man, this would be awesome for you until it becomes a job. Mm-hmm. When it becomes yep. a job, get out. So WrestleMania, Tampa, Florida. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Orlando, Florida. Myself, Raven Travis Berry,
yeah.
JTG, Shad, and Willie Mack.
Mm-hmm.
We got a call from Rey Mysterio Jr. He's like, hey, man, come to this party. It was the Wale Mania party the night before WrestleMania. So we go to this party, and Shad didn't want to go. Like, he didn't want to go. But we're all, come on, man, just come to the party.
Yeah.
So we end up going to the party, and he's telling me this story about Kelly Kelly and Chris Jericho. Okay? And no lie, Kelly Kelly walks up to me. We start having this full-on conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was like, hey, take my picture. I like selfies. So we start taking a selfie. JTG pulls out his phone. He's like, I got this, man. I got this. He takes a selfie. It looks shitty. Shad looks at his phone, takes a selfie. Looks shitty. Chad looks at me and goes, hey, Mr. Photographer, why don't you go ahead and shoot your shot? Hey, shoot my shot. Whatever, bro. I take out my phone. I take the selfie, right?
Yeah.
Kelly loves the selfie. She's like, send me the selfie. I'm like, I don't have your phone number. She's like, here's my phone number. Gives me her phone number. So I shoot her the selfie. She walks away. 10 minutes later, she comes back. Hey, can you take another one for me? And I'm like, yeah. So this time I got all of us in. And I don't know if you looked at my Facebook page, but that's the picture that I posted.
Yeah.
We did all of us in. We took that picture. And Shad fucked with me the whole night about that. He was like, bro, she wants you, bro. She wants you. You need to go shoot your shot. And you got her. You got her. Ripped the shit out of me the whole night. So yeah. I'm like, ooh, Kelly want me. All right. So
yeah.
I go shoot my shot.
Oh, boy.
She was digging it, but she was hella drunk.
Oh, okay.
So she's talking to me, and she was like, you know, the last time I kissed a black dude, and she leaned forward, and she fucking fell down the stairs, bro.
Oh!
Fell down the fucking VIP stairs.
Oh!
4 or 5 steps. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh.
I'm like, shit. So...
Wow.
I'm looking around like, where's everybody at? You know? So I go over to her and I pick her up. Right? I'm like, you all right? You all right? She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, she did some stuff to herself that I don't want to say on air because it's kind of embarrassing.
Sure.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what? She's wearing a white dress. It's all embarrassing as fuck. So I'm like, no. Sit down, right? So here I am sitting her down. This motherfucker Shad walks up behind me and was like, bro, look at this video I got. He recorded the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, man, every time you feel down about something, I want you to look back at this video.
Yeah.
See how stupid you look.
Oh, man.
You know, things like that, man.
Yeah.
You know? The very first time I met Shad.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey.
The very first time I met Shad, me and LTP, he's my tag team partner, my little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Me, him, Crime Time, and Virgil.
Okay.
We're all sitting at our autograph table at Wrestle Fan Fest in Sacramento, California, Top House.
Yeah.
By far the worst clusterfuck of a show I've ever worked. I mean, it was like Friday wrestling, yeah. Saturday MMA wrestling, Sunday wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many people there. The promoter didn't pay people.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure I got money before.
I'm sure.
Yvonne was like, bro, get your money right now.
Right.
So we sit at his autograph table. It's a high spots table.
Okay.
The high spots is right next to us.
Mm-hmm.
So a dude from high spots takes out all his belts, puts them on the table, blah, 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 right? And he says, oh, man, I got to go talk to Kevin Kleinrock real quick because Kevin Kleinrock and Big Vision Entertainment were doing the show.
Okay.
He goes, hey, I got to talk to Kevin Kleinrock real quick. Can you guys watch the table?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, man. No big deal.
Yeah.
Shad looks at me. JTG looks at me. And they shake their head. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Virgil. You know, there's a lot of stories about Virgil. I'm not saying he did it. I'm not saying he didn't do it.
Yes.
But, you know, Virgil and DiBiase got heat, right? They can't be together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. You
know? So I guess Virgil asked the guy from High Spots to put the $1 million belt on the table so he can sign autographs.
Mm.
So when dude left, you know, people were coming to sign autographs.
Yeah.
You know, over there, he's over there. We kept looking, he's over there. Look back, he was fucking gone.
Mm.
And the belt was gone.
Oh, boy.
I'm not saying he took the belt.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
And the belt wasn't
there. The belt
wasn't. Wow.
Chad looks at me. He goes, look, man. We 4 black dudes sitting at a table.
Mm-hmm.
We in fucking San Francisco. We're in the fucking Cow Palace.
Yeah.
4 black dudes sitting at a table. And $1,000 belt just came up missing.
Mm-hmm.
What you think they going to think? Sure enough, dude came back and was like, hey, you guys see the belt? I'm like, man, I ain't seen shit.
Right. Right.
It's just stuff like that, man, that you'll never... You'll never get that kind of stuff with somebody else, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He was real genuine. And he wasn't like a... I mean, you guys have been around business a long time. You guys know what I mean.
Absolutely.
He wasn't like the guys. He was one of the boys. Like, he legit was one of the boys.
Right, yeah.
But he made you feel like you were one of the boys. Even if you walked in a locker room, and everyone didn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had massive heat in the locker room, and he was in that locker room, he made you feel like that heat was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people are like that, man. And,
yeah.
You know, we lost a real good dude, and you know, it really sucks. I'm proud that his GoFundMe blew up. It blew up. I don't know if you guys have seen the numbers, but
and if that's
like
true.
Literally, it's been 24 hours since that GoFundMe went up last night.
Oh yeah, yes,
yeah,
and it's they, well over 140,000.
It is. Yep, absolutely.
And like, was it Cena who put the 40,000 in? Wasn't that John?
Yeah, it was Cena, but it was like it was like 100,000 was the goal.
Yeah,
I think it's like 106,000, 107,000, 400 something dollars. Like it was it just blew up, man. Like mm-hmm. here, let me see if I can find
it. Yeah, I think when we when I looked at it earlier, it was maybe at 133.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and TMZ is talking about John Cena maybe the secret donor because, you know, Crime Time and Cena worked as a sixth man.
Right.
Look, honestly, man, it doesn't matter who the donor was.
Yeah.
Right. I donated anonymously. And the reason why, because I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, I donated money. It was me. I donated money. I donated $100. So what?
Right.
I don't want to be that dude. Like if someone means something to you,
mm-hmm.
you don't, like... I don't know, man. Like,
well, you're not doing it. You're not doing it for publicity. And
exactly.
The other thing, yeah. And the other thing too is, what I mean, I admire is the GoFundMe blew up nicely. And then, with Al Snow doing the, shirts on collar and elbow, and those shirts are awesome. And I put in my order right away. It was like, this is too cool that the money is going to the family. And I mean, I just think, man, could you imagine being a 10-year-old kid? And I mean, talk about looking at your dad as a superhero as it is, and then he saves your life.
You know, man, that kid has a whole bunch of new dads.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he'll never want. I'll never want for anything else in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, man, like Chad was such a, it said 135,675.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
1,025 people donated.
And if you guys are listening, please, please, if you have the means to do it, please either order a shirt from Collar and Elbow or please donate to the GoFundMe, because I mean, this is just, it means so much to not only the family, but to all of us who had some kind of interaction with Shad and all of us who are in like the wrestling community. It's a family, man. And we lost just one of the most stand-up guys that you could ever imagine.
And not to down anybody or say anything bad about anybody, mm-hmm. because that's not who I am. Quite honestly, man, there aren't many people in this business like that.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
You know, I see, like, I'm scrolling through right now, $5, $500, $100, $10, you know, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. whatever you donate. Like, I mean, think about it. And this is why I sit back and I look at things like this, and I'm like, dude, I'm just a basic dude. I'm an average dude. I get up, I go to work every day. You know, just because I wrestle 3 days a week and I'm on TV, and because, you know, it's weird. I get weirded out when people come up and ask me for autographs.
Right.
Or get a call from a hospital asking me to do a Make-A-Wish. I'm like, I'm just me. Like, who the fuck am I?
Yeah.
You know? And Shad had the same type of mentality. He was just like, I'm just me.
Yeah.
I'm just doing what I do, and I'm just a good person. You know, and I hope to, like, honestly, man, I hope to be fucking 10% of the good person he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's tough in the aspect, too, that what he was doing in terms of the transition from, you know, wrestling on the big stage to, hey, I don't necessarily need that. I have other interests. And, you know, he was so creative, you know, writing scripts, getting stuff into, you know, pre-production, that kind of stuff. He was so talented and smart,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he didn't need to be a WWE superstar. Nope. He just had to be Shad.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Such a natural, likable guy, you know? Dude always had a smile on his face. Even when he had a horrible match with somebody, he would walk back there and give that guy a hug, like, bro, thank you for that match. I've seen matches, I'm like, wow, that was the shits. Like, wow, that was the drizzling shits.
Yeah.
And he hugged the guy and was like, hey, man, thank you for giving me all you got.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, man, I get choked up when I talk about it. Like, I literally sat here in my house for like 2 days. I didn't do anything, you know. I just sat, and my friends were texting me and calling me, and like, hey, man, you know, I need to be alone for a little bit. I need to figure out what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And I sat down, and I posted a post, and I posted some pictures, and I felt good for about 5 minutes. Then I sat back down and I started thinking, wow, man, if I have a problem that I need somebody to vent to, I can't message him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call him. I can't text him.
Yeah.
You know? And I took a shower and I turned off all the lights. And, you know, I was in there for a good 20 minutes. And I was just like, you know, God, I mean, I'm just me and I'm asking for a favor. Please let his body be found.
Mm-hmm.
Because family needs closure. Like, we all need closure. Can you imagine not finding his body?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been so horrible, man. Like, if knock on wood, man, if my mom or my kids, and I call my little brother and I'm like, bro, I love you. And I need you to know, like, whatever happens in life, like, I got you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he feels the same way. He was sad. He went to the beach. He lives in LA.
Yeah.
He went to the beach. He was there and he sent me a couple of pictures. And, you know, it's so cool that a lot of people, like, I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures.
Yeah.
People, man, so many people that showed up there, you know, and what people don't understand is it wasn't like a Facebook thing. It wasn't like an Instagram thing. Like, we all got individual, like, messages, like, don't post this on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yep. I didn't post it. You guys didn't post it, but there was like 300 fucking people there.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you how it touched everybody, man. And then there's a video online with like pictures of Gold's Gym.
Yes.
I've been to Gold's Gym. Dude, Gold's Gym is plastered with Shad stuff.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I mean, it really sucks that someone has to pass away.
Yep.
See their real true worth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, fortunately, Shad was the kind of guy that he showed you your true worth regardless.
Right.
Yeah. He always had a funny joke to tell me. He always wanted to rip me. And he always had something very positive to tell me every time I saw him.
Yeah.
I would post a post on Instagram and he would like it and say something positive about it, or he'd send me a little message in my inbox.
Mm-hmm.
What stupid little meme, but you know, it was like you go to church and you're sitting in the church and you got a problem and you're so stressed out and it's like, man, I don't know what to do about it. And then the pastor says something and you look like, fuck, was he talking to me?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He always had that knack for sending you something when like you were going through something out of nowhere. Like I'd be chilling doing something and I would be thinking like, man, how am I gonna say ding and my phone will go off? I look down there and it's a stupid ass meme. But it is exactly what I need to hear at that time.
Yeah.
Like he, I was like, dude, you got cameras in my fucking house or what?
Yeah.
Like, are you stalking me or what, bro?
Right, like, right. Like,
and I guarantee you, any person you talk to, you can call anybody right now and ask them to tell you a Shad story and they'll tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my always tell me, two people who don't know each other can't tell you the same lie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, you know, that just, yeah, that just shows you, man. I mean, when you have someone who impacts your life like that, I think you do a disservice when you now go back out into life and act the opposite of what you were shown of the way you're supposed to be. Shad showed us the way how we should be in life, how we should enjoy life, how we should, how to get through. He was the example of what it's like to show love. Bottom line, just to show love. So when we get to that point in our lives where we're not being that type of person, hopefully we will quickly be reminded of how we should be acting. I think that's why it's good when when good people like Shad leaves us, or good other people in life that you have, when you have nothing but good things to say and good memories, that was a lesson for us. The question is going to become, did we learn it? Or are we still going to go back out into life and start being evil, being mean, not being shown the same examples of what we were shown? These type of things that happen are reminders that this is how we should be.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
People aren't going to look that way, which, you know, but now people actually look at it like, wow, like, he really impacted my life in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should up and do it this way.
Right.
Maybe I should do this, you know, like the cyberbullying thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that girl, 22 years old.
Yeah.
I've been wrestling alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I got books in my trophy case right now that are older than she is.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy. And for someone to bully her to the point to where she commits suicide, like, that's bullshit, man.
Right.
And I there are people in the world that are really fucking shitty like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, but it's like, they're really, really shitty like that, you know. And a lot of people, you know, don't realize that they're cyber bullies. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I've said horrible things to people online.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you vent and you say things, you know, but you gotta self check yourself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the whole Big Brother, the whole saying Big Brother is watching you. And, you know, like this lesson, Shad was a teacher,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people don't really see that. But if you look at the way he loved his son,
yeah.
That's the way a father should love their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Loved his wife. You know, I literally sat and went through his Instagram the other night, and his Instagram videos, it's like 150 weeks of videos, right?
Yeah.
Looking through. And he's always talking about how much he loves his wife and how much he loves his kid. Like, always, no matter where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Man, can you imagine, like someone loving you so much to where they give their life for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I believe, and I'm just going to put it out there, I believe Shad would have gave his life a fucking 100 times over to save his kid. But I haven't hesitating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, too, you know, that, being that it was his son, you know, there's so much instinct to it. You know, you have, you know, a different mindset because it is your child. But Shad was the type of person that, I mean, it could have been someone who just happened to be swimming in the ocean amongst those people who were out when the riptide hit. He probably would have said, no, save that person right there first. Get him. You know, because that's the type of person he was. He would have sacrificed himself for someone, a complete stranger's life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he put himself in physical harm, put himself in harm's way to stop a robbery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Like, the whole thing about superheroes, man, straight superheroes all don't wear capes, man. They don't all wear capes. Mm-mm. You know, like the shirt says, superheroes can wear Tims too. And she's really a superhero, man. Like, to coin the phrase, you know, he was Superman, bro. Like,
yeah,
he was nice to people. He was generous. He was down to earth. Like, dude didn't have an egotistical bone in his body. And he always put other people first. Yeah. To me, bro, if you look at a dictionary, that's the definition of a hero.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's, you know, wild, like, you know, just thinking, like you said, not only Shad and not only, you know, this cyberbullying issue, but we also lose Supreme, you know, just a week earlier. It's amazing what impact just 10 days can have on your life. You know, you go from one vision of how things are to a whole different spin of the head. Like, this can't be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Supreme was, I was really close to Supreme. Like, I started my career with Supreme, man. Like, you know, he, my very first trip to Mexico, Supreme, Chaos, his wife, and Sage as a baby.
Oh, wow.
We drove up into the mountains of Tecate, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdest trip I've ever taken in my entire life. We're wrestling for the Kiss. He runs a show down in California, but he does shows in Mexico sometimes. And it was so surreal, man. We're up in the mountains, and this guy, these military police, have like this big-ass gun on a bunker, and they stop us. Going up this dirt hill, all these little shanties mm-hmm. like around us, and they shake us down for money. They ask us what we're doing here. We're luchadors. We're wrestling. You know, we're doing lucha libre up here, and they're like, "Oh, so you guys got mega pesos?" We end up giving them like $50, you know, which is probably like $5,000 in pesos at the time, you know. But Lester, with all the pins in his face and everything, just smiled and was like, "You guys have a great day." And they look okay, adios, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like that, like, they put on this persona on TV, you know, and you look at them like, oh, they're just hard ass, and they're listening, and they're so like down to earth, they're so real. There aren't really a lot of real people in the business,
right?
And you'll find them, you'll see, you know, you'll sit back and you'll see, and you'll be like, wow, like that guy really was good people. And then, you know, that guy really wasn't good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see the good people. And it's not the people who donated $10,000 or $500 or $5 or $1. It's the people who learned that lesson that those people were trying to share with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I had to say one thing about Shad and about the life he lived from the time that I know him. I've only known him like 5 or 6 years. But from the time, like 10 years. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, sit back and think about it. I've been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
To sit back and think about it, like, all you really can say is, like, we lost somebody who was so amazing as, you know, as an athlete, as a character, but as a person.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can only hope to be like 10% of the guy he was, you know?
Yeah.
And I try every day to be a better person. Yeah, I think I'm a better person today than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
I will try every day to be a better person because I was shown the way.
Yeah.
And now, time for me to either, you know, like my grandma used to always say, it's either shit or get off the pot.
Yep.
Well, BJ, man, thanks for giving us that. We definitely appreciate it. We all here share the same sentiments as well. And we're definitely going to have you back because we want to know what's going on also in your world. But we will never forget Shad Gaspard and it's the memories that's going to make him live forever.